Hi, guys. I just want to say up front that this podcast was not intended to be the return of Montana Skeptic. I actually wound up getting a text message from him right while I was in the middle of doing another podcast, one on my own. And so I brought him back about 30 minutes into the conversation that you're about to hear, which was what I thought was going to be a solo podcast. So I apologize for making you wait 30 minutes to hear him, but he's back, and here it is. Sup, fools? This is the QTR Podcast. Today is September 27th, 2018, or International Elon Musk Suit for Fraud by the Securities and Exchange Commission Day, as it will hereby be known in the future. With that being said, before I get started talking about what all this shit means and what I think is going to happen, let me just say two things. The first is that I am not a financial advisor. I hold no licenses. This is not investment advice. And even though I got this right, and the SEC is seeking a officer or director bar, just like I wrote in my August 30th Seeking Alpha article that they would, you're still not allowed to listen to me, folks, because that's, you can't do it. I don't have any licenses, no CFP, no CFA, no CPA, none of that. So this is not financial advice. It's purely for journalistic and humor purposes. Let's just say that. All right. Read my disclaimers. They're all over the place. Secondly, this episode is brought to you by my Patreons. Patreons are a fantastic group of people that choose to donate a recurring sum to me. The Patreon link is all over. It's in my Twitter profile. It's on my YouTube link. It's everywhere. And I just want to take a second before I get into it to remind my Patreons that I really appreciate their support. It means a lot. I don't think I have anybody new since the last podcast, which was yesterday. I wasn't expecting to do a podcast today, but when the SEC sues Elon Musk, you muster up the energy to run upstairs and do a podcast real quick. So I'll just give a couple of random shout-outs to Patreons like Michael Samuels and Pete Yarborough and Force Majeure, Steenberger, Hugh Meyer, Christine Richard, Mark Rulo. Appreciate you guys. Carl Nixon, Dave Osten, guys like Chris Bede come through in a big way. Also Samuel Pearson, Aaron, Ryan McKnight, MD. I really appreciate you guys. All right, let's get into it. So it broke after the bell today. I don't know why they can't do this shit when the options market are open, but whatever. Broke after the bell today. The Securities and Exchange Commission is suing Elon Musk for securities fraud. Now, how could this happen, you may be asking yourself? Who could have possibly predicted that such a thing would have happened? And that was the baffling thing about this whole funding secured tweet, folks. This wasn't some intricate accounting fraud that needed some expert to go in and figure out what was going on. I mean, this was pretty cut and dry. The guy came out in the beginning of August, and he said he had funding secured for a buyout offer at $420 a share. And he didn't. And it was made abundantly clear after the fact that he did not. And you just can't do that. It's securities fraud. So when people like me and other skeptics and the guys at HedgeEye and Mark Spiegel and all these guys come out and they're clamoring over and over and over, and they just can't believe that it has been allowed to get to this level where the board of directors allows this fucking buffoon to go out and make these statements on Twitter. And I'm saying on the HedgeEye webcast, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to, you can look it up. I did a webcast with HedgeEye about 3 weeks ago or a month ago. But right after this happened, you know, I was beside myself that the board of directors would allow Elon Musk to continue communicating through Twitter. And I was getting all these comments. Oh, you really sound upset. You're taking it personally. You're doing this. You're doing that. And as I explained on the podcast, I'm not taking it personally. This is just such obvious nonsense. It's such obvious bullshit that I'm offended by it. I'm offended that it's allowed to happen on our public markets. And I'm offended that the day of, and as soon as we started to find out that the offer was nonsense and bullshit, that the stock didn't go lower and that more people weren't covering the story that way. And that's just not how it happened. It's not how it was reported by the mainstream media. It's not how the equity markets took the information. So forgive me for being a little bit beside myself several weeks ago when it was very clear, not only to me, but people much smarter than me that are on the short side of this trade, that Elon Musk had committed securities fraud. You just can't come out and say we're going to execute a massive merger and acquisition transaction without having the goods to back it up. It's not how the fucking public markets work. It's not. This isn't some party in Silicon Valley where you can just do whatever you want. This isn't your personal Instagram account where you can put up, you know, pictures of whatever you want. You don't have sole discretion. That's not how a public company works. Public company works because you're trying to represent the interests of your shareholders who own the company. And your board of directors is supposed to make sure that you're acting in the best interest of the shareholders. And the blame not only belongs on Elon Musk here for doing this, for whatever reason he thought this was possible, but it belongs, as I said in the Hedgeye webcast, on the board of directors. It belongs on Kimball Musk. It belongs on all the other board of directors that allow him to get away with this. Because this kind of behavior was never in the best interest of shareholders. It never was. So to allow it to keep happening, like the Vern Unsworth thing, coming out and calling the guy a pedophile, doesn't, you know, just focus on the business. Focus on what you're doing. Don't focus on that shit. Whether it's true, whether it's not true, it doesn't matter. It has no bearing to how your shareholders are going to do. And the board should have kept his head on that message from that point. Elon, you need to only be focused about the company. You need to be focused about production. And you should not be focused with anything, you know, any type of ancillary bullshit like this. And get off Twitter. That's what they should have said after the pedo guy comment. The board had an opportunity to go to him and say, get off Twitter because you're going to become a liability. And I feel like I'm fucking repeating myself, folks, because I've been saying this for the last few months. Go back and listen to my podcast if you don't believe me. The board had their opportunity to pull him in and to say, hey, you're creating a liability by what you're saying on Twitter. But they didn't. They didn't. They wanted to pal around with him. Kimball Musk wanted to pal around with his brother. And these other dildos that are on the board of director, they wanted to pal around with him. They put out this statement a couple weeks ago. We're all behind Elon still. Kimball Musk on CNBC 10 days ago. My brother's doing a great job. No! People that are doing a great job don't get charged by the Securities and Exchange Commission for fraud. You fucking idiot. I mean, I've tried not to be too ad hominem about this. But Kimball Musk does not come off to me as an intelligent human being. I don't know if I'm the only one. Maybe it's the cowboy hat. I don't really know. And really, insulting people is not what I want to do. I want to argue the facts, all right? But you're an idiot if you allow Elon Musk to go out and make these statements on Twitter and you're okay with it. You're a moron. And then, instead of coming out right away after it happened and saying, oh shit, we didn't really have what we thought we had or this was communicated poorly, they do this half-assed cover-up, you know, bullshit kind of like, well, you know, we're going to look at a term sheet now, we're going to hire a strategic advisor. I mean, it was all just a giant dog and pony show. It was all just nonsense. It was just nonsense. And the people on the long side of this trade that are watching this stuff happen, like Ross Gerber, who's out there saying, well, yeah, well, don't doubt Elon because it's definitely going to happen. I mean, talk about cognitive dissonance. Talk about cognitive dissonance. I mean, I feel like tomorrow we're going to get the same lungs coming out going, the SEC is on a conspiracy with the oil companies to shut down Tesla. No! They just don't like fucking liars. How about that? They don't like people that lie. You can't lie to shareholders. You can't lie to the public markets. And like I said on the Hedgeye podcast, it's not about the short sellers and it's not about people that are long. It's about everybody who incidentally is affected by this nonsense and garbage. So kudos to the SEC for coming out and doing this. Kudos to them. Because even if you don't necessarily feel like you have any dog in this fight and you're a retail investor that, you know, isn't necessarily long the stock or you're not a short seller, you're invested. And I'll tell you how. Because your parents, your cousins, your friends, the people in your lives inadvertently have exposure to this company one way or another. They either own the company through funds or ETFs or parts of their 401ks, or they own bits and pieces of the counterparties that the company is doing banking business. There is some ties to this company, and there will be aftershocks if the company basically gets destroyed, which is what my prediction is going to be after this. So maybe you didn't listen to me beforehand, but maybe you want to listen to me now. But I would recommend not listening to me, by the way, because I'm not an investment advisor and I don't hold any licenses. So I need to make that very, very clear. With that being said, this is going to open up a floodgate of shit. Now, there's a couple possible outcomes here, right? Let's talk about what happens next. Next, the company has the opportunity to either contest this complaint or try to settle with it. My guess is they're going to try and settle with the SEC. So the complaint, in essence, I just read it quickly. It's very breezy. It's one of the less intricate complaints I've read because this is really an open and shut case. There's not much to this. He came out, he lied, and that's it. And then in a series of subsequent tweets, made a bunch of other dumbass statements. I mean, folks, we're not trying to figure out who the fucking second gunman on the grassy knoll is here. The Twitter account's got his name on it. It says at Elon Musk right there. So what's going to happen from here? The company has a couple options, right? They can come out and they can try to fight this and take it the distance. I mean, look, let's first off just have a little quick introductory law course, right? This is a civil complaint. This is not a criminal complaint. Though that doesn't necessarily mean that a criminal complaint won't be coming, but when the SEC sues you, this is a civil complaint, right? So they have the opportunity to stand their ground and, you know, put out a press release saying we're vigorously going to defend ourselves and we expected this and blah, 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 blah. We'll brush it under the table and it'll be over and done with. Or they can come out and they can settle it, which I think is the most likely thing that can happen. They'll have a settlement, and as part of the settlement, they will agree that Elon Musk will have to be barred as an officer or director of a public company, exactly what I said was going to happen on August 30th when I wrote my article. I'm going to read you what I wrote right now. Because I don't want to take a fucking, this is not about taking a victory lap. I feel like at times like these, it's important to just focus on the facts. The point of the matter is, they'll probably agree to an officer or director bar, and they'll probably agree to a fine with the SEC. That would be my guess. And I'm even going to go one step further and say something that I know might piss off a lot of skeptics, a lot of short sellers, whatever. And that is that this incident on its own could be an open and shut settlement, nothing to it. I mean, an officer or director bar is a huge deal. But what could happen is, he could step down as CEO and he could step into the role as chief product officer or, you know, obviously can't use that title, but chief of products or, you know, technology consultant, prime technology consultant. I mean, there's a million bullshit titles that can come up with him. Remember Casino? You know, make him the fucking food and beverage manager. As long as he's there, everybody kind of knows he's the CEO. But in a case like that, where he settles and he agrees to an officer and director bar, and he agrees to a monetary fine, then you have a couple of questions. Well, who's going to run the company? Could be a positive for the company if they bring in somebody from the auto industry. But then in a case like that, as I've discussed on previous podcasts, you always run the risk of having a power struggle happen. And that is a distinct possibility. If Musk has to agree to an officer or director bar, and he steps out of his position, and they bring in somebody like Bob Lutz. Obviously, they're not going to bring in Bob Lutz himself, but maybe they bring in some like Southern good old boy from the automotive industry with 40 years of experience, a traditional auto guy. And every day, Elon Musk has got to talk to this good old boy from down south who's now the CEO of his company. His California company set up to rid the world of fossil fuels and to move technology forward is now headed up by a good old boy from Alabama. I vote Republican, making America great again, one company at a time. Now, if Musk has to deal with somebody like that on a daily basis, he might not only bar himself from being an officer or director, he might just bar himself from the company as a whole. So them having to bring in somebody new is going to create a different power dynamic at the company. And you can argue that'll be good or you can argue that'll be bad. This also extends to the board of directors, okay? So let's say they settle and he takes the officer director bar and it, you know, they pay a couple million-dollar fine and it's over and done with the SEC from a civil standpoint, at least for the time being. This board of directors, as Gene Munster said, needs to be ousted, shaken up, removed from their positions, and replaced. It's that simple. This should have been prevented, and it wasn't. Any competent board of directors, as I stated ad infinitum, which is Latin for a lot of fucking times, any board of directors would not have let this happen. The Coke board of directors wouldn't have let it happen. The General Electric board of directors wouldn't have let it happen. Probably the fucking Enron board of directors wouldn't even let this happen. They would have commenced an investigation after CEO Numbnuts made his tweet about the pedo guy and or did several stupid things prior to that. And this opportunity would have never come about for the SEC, and we wouldn't be talking about it right now. But, you know, look, as time progressed and all this was playing out, I kept saying to myself, well, maybe the worst is over. Maybe he won't do something that one-ups the last stupid thing that he did. But he did, and he kept doing it. And the board seemed to be just fucking fine with it. I mean, Kimball Musk is in outer fucking space. No clue where this guy is. No clue. And if you want my thoughts on his last televised interview on September 17th, then you got to go back and listen to whatever podcast that was. I think it was the Shitting on the Floor edition? Hang on, I'm going to look up the title because I did talk about Kimball Musk. That was episode 70, Tesla Talk, Criminal Probe Secured edition. So you can go back and listen to that. So let's talk about what happens if the SEC wants to go after them. I mean, I think at the most, the SEC will get what they're asking for, and there'll be a huge monetary fine, and Musk will step down, and that'll be that. Now the question comes, what's the Department of Justice going to do? Well, actually, first, let's look at this from a civil litigation standpoint. Everybody now that has outstanding claims against the company is going to be able to point to this SEC complaint and say, look, this is why I'm suing Tesla. The Securities and Exchange Commission just alleged that their chief executive officer committed fraud. Boom. So all of those other outstanding cases should be relatively open and shut, regardless of the outcome. Because now you got the SEC on your side. That's going to ramp up Tesla's legal bills significantly, in my opinion. Significantly. Let's also talk about what happens if the SEC is still continuing an investigation as to the company's Model 3 production numbers. The company came out and said in a statement somewhere I read before I came upstairs and started this podcast that, oh, well, we expected the company to be named as a defendant too, not just Elon Musk. How's that for a fucking long thesis, right? Well, what does that mean? That means maybe the SEC is waiting to sue the company for something else. That's at least what it said to me. I mean, obviously, I'm not an attorney, and this isn't legal advice. And by the way, did I mention it's not investment advice? Because it's not. But what if the SEC is waiting to sue the company until they can get to the bottom of whether or not the company committed some type of material misstatement as it relates to Model 3 production numbers? What if they're waiting for that, and then they're going to sue the company? So this action, as I see it, is a kind of compartmentalized open and close case. I mean, it's September 27th. This happened, you know, not even 2 months ago. And in the time since the event took place, we've gotten enough information to determine that it was bullshit and enough to convince the SEC to sue him, and the lawsuit's been filed. They did it in under 2 months. Because this was, as I said, a relatively open and shut case. And if you read the complaint, it's very breezy. So, I mean, it's not breezy on facts, but in terms of its length, it's not an extremely long complaint. But something like gearing the Model 3 production numbers is a far more intricate type of misrepresentation that the SEC would need to probably investigate a lot more in depth. So I think the possibility of a separate suit for that is still on the table, unless we hear otherwise from the SEC or from the company. But what it's been reported is that that investigation is still ongoing. So the SEC said in their complaint about Musk today, unlike market participants reading his tweets, Musk knew that his ostensibly secured funding was based on a 30 to 45 minute conversation regarding a potential investment of an unspecified amount. Folks, that's called bullshit, in my household growing up. You can give it whatever legal term you want, but that's called bullshit where I'm from. That's just called he's bullshitting. You can call it securities fraud. You can call it material misrepresentation. Whatever's going to make your day. But it's just bullshit, as I've said on this podcast. And now I don't have to say it's alleged bullshit or maybe the SEC will sue him because they're fucking suing him for fraud. So everybody that's come out and has called Elon Musk fraud, well, now they have a reason. He's being sued for fraud by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Elon Musk committed fraud, according to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Another great way to put it. Maybe I'll think of 10 other different ways to put it tonight. Maybe that'll be my exercise tonight as I'm going to sleep. How many ways can I reword that sentence in my head? The suit also said Musk's tweets caused market chaos and harmed Tesla investors. That means you, Ross Gerber. Harmed you. And while everybody out there was saying that this was a problem and saying he doesn't have funding secured and saying it could lead to legal liabilities or regulatory liabilities, you were defending this guy. Well, according to the SEC, buddy boy, you got it wrong. And I'm not even going to address, you know, some of the shit talk that you were doing on Twitter to me, because it's not important. What's important here are the facts. The SEC said Musk's statements on August 7th also omitted material information. Musk had a duty to disclose material facts necessary to make his statements not misleading. As a result of Musk's false and misleading statements and material omissions, investors who purchased Tesla stock in the period after the false and misleading statements but before accurate information was made known to the market were harmed. So just as I said, if you were one of those people buying on this, the SEC says you were harmed. And that's what I said was going to happen. It's not good. If it goes from 350 to 380 on this tweet and you make money on that and the tweet's still false, that's not good. Because then what happens is now the stock's at 300. Now it's at 276 after hours. So I'm not taking it personally offensive. I'm taking offense on behalf of the retail investors and the normal people out there that are not watching this on a day-to-day basis, that are not familiar with the granularity of what's happening, that see a CEO come out and say $420 per share and they buy stock on it in their Robinhood accounts. And then they go about their life because they think the company's going to get bought out. They don't know about how much debt it has. They don't know about the cash flow issues. Those are the people I'm taking offense on behalf of. So when I got worked up about this a couple of times on previous podcasts, you can see why. Apparently, the SEC got worked up enough also, too, to file a lawsuit. So, yes, maybe I sound a little bit less nuts now, but I probably still sound a little nuts. That's all right. So now we have to figure out what the Department of Justice is going to do. Because it had also been reported that the Department of Justice might be piggybacking on the SEC subpoenas. And traditionally, what we've seen in the past is that the SEC will move first before the Department of Justice. So now we have a lot of questions to answer. Who's going to be the CEO of Tesla if they settle and Musk has to step down? How is this going to prevent them from financing? What is this going to do to their suppliers and their vendors? What is this going to do for consumers that are considering buying a Tesla? What is it going to do for people that are holding Tesla stock and have a fiduciary to their investors? Can you hold the stock of a company where the CEO has been charged with securities fraud? Those are all going to be pertinent questions. On top of that, what else is left to come down the pipe now? What else is going to happen? Will the DOJ step in? How will this negatively affect the equity going forward? Because if you think that at $275, the worst is over with the equity, I would disagree with you. But again, I'm not an investment professional. I think this is going to have far-reaching consequences. And the headline is now written, folks. It will go down in the history books. Elon Musk has been sued for fraud by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So the name Elon Musk and the word fraud are now going to go together for a long time to come. And that's it. There's not going to be any arguments about it. There's going to be nothing to contest. The SEC sued him. Securities fraud. And maybe there will be a narrative tomorrow that the company expected it, or that they welcome it, or that there's a settlement, or the worst is over. Whatever other types of cognitive dissonance bullshit investors have been telling themselves for a while and will continue to tell themselves. The fact is that a $52 billion valuation on this company still seems insane. And the wild thing here is there was no conspiracy to go after Tesla before any of this, just as there's no conspiracy now. Tesla provided us the ammunition to be critical of them. The short sellers aren't getting together saying, oh, you know, with the oil companies and the SEC saying, oh, can we sue this guy? Can we put him out of business? It's not what's happening. You just can't lie, though. When are we going to hear about the solar roof tiles? What happened to the battery swapping program? What about the acquisition of SolarCity? Were there material production omissions that were made when they announced the 5,000 Model 3 rate per week when they did it the first week? Are you allowed to sign off on an 8K saying you made 5,000 a week when more than 80% of those cars, according to Business Insider citing internal company documents, needed to be reworked? Are those cars even made at that point? I mean, if you think the questions are over for this company, the questions are just fucking beginning. The questions are just starting. So maybe you'll listen and maybe you won't. It's all right. I'm going to keep voicing my opinion on this. And obviously, I'm going to stay up to date with what's going on. But what do you say if you're the dude from Hyperchange TV or you're Ross Gerber? This is good. There's a silver lining here. There's no silver lining. This is a floodgate to more problems opening, in my opinion. This is just the beginning. Equity's at 274 here after hours. I hope this equity stays at 274 tomorrow. Although you probably won't even be able to buy options tomorrow. The implied volatility in options is just going to be, it's going to be fucking through the roof. I mean, I'm guessing you're going to have to sell options to take any kind of position and not dole out a ton of premium. But regardless, should be interesting to see what happens when some volume comes in tomorrow. After hours so far, the stock's traded 2.4 million shares. Traded 4.4 million today. So in just an hour of after hours trading, the stock is on pace to probably eclipse the day's daily volume. And the other thing too, I'd like to dedicate this podcast to Montana Skeptic, because this is a guy who's been calling out this nonsense and bullshit as it's been happening. As a matter of fact, folks, he actually just texted me. Why don't we get Montana Skeptic on the line right now? And normally, I wouldn't make you wait 28 minutes to hear him, but this actually just happened in the midst of me ranting. Okay, he literally just text me now, and I am super, super fucking excited to have back on the line the one, the only Montana Skeptic. What is going on? How are you?
Hey, how are you, Chris? I'm fine.
I'm good. You sound very measured and very calm. Has anybody alerted you that Elon Musk has been sued for securities fraud by the SEC?
Yes, I saw that, of course. And I just had a chance to read the SEC's complaint, and so here we are.
All right. So I'm doing two things at once, and I kept getting little messages here on the side, and I'm trying to ignore them so I can just speak directly to you. So what do you make of this? I mean, what I was just talking about for the last 28 minutes on my podcast was, because I was doing like a little solo rant here before I got your text, was kind of what I thought the implications were going to be for the future and how I thought this could open the floodgates for, you know, tons more legal liability, and whether or not the SEC could file a separate suit regarding the Model 3 production or Solar City, and also whether or not the Department of Justice may come in afterwards here. So
yeah,
I'll leave those out there and want to get your thoughts.
Well, obviously, I'm not plugged into the SEC or the Department of Justice. It does seem to me that a further action by the Department of Justice is clearly a potential issue for Tesla. And it also seems to me that the SEC has been investigating, and I doubt very much that the only thing they've looked at is this going private fraud. I imagine they're looking at other things as well, and there's a possibility that that could mushroom. The immediate problem for Tesla, it seems to me, and its board of directors, which, you know, so far historically has just sat on its hands and done whatever Musk wants it to do, is right. What do we do now with Elon Musk? The SEC is seeking not just damages or fines against Musk for his fraudulent tweeting. And by the way, that complaint lays it out very clearly, the whole chronology of it, and implicates Tesla's chief financial officer pretty deeply, and shows the gravity of it because it details communications that Musk and Tesla's investor relations people had with various large investors and analysts at the time. But the SEC has said, you know, Elon Musk, there should be a permanent injunction against him serving as an officer or director of any publicly traded company now and forever. And that's a serious thing to ask for. And the board has got to decide, what do we do now? In a way, how does our religion survive without our religious leader? And I'm not sure the religion can survive without the religious leader. So it's a real dilemma for the board. Tomorrow ought to be a very interesting day.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I know you missed everything that I just said, but I was basically just talking for the last like half hour by myself. I agree with you completely. The board of directors had the ability to stop this from happening after Pedogate, and they didn't, you know? And so while any other board, I even said prior, you know, the board of Enron probably would have even stepped in and prevented this from happening, and they didn't. And so the board has to go, in my opinion, completely. But listen, you're a lawyer, right? You have a 30-year background in law. So how likely is it to you that the SEC has more goods on the company or that the Department of Justice follows in and just bats clean up here?
Well, I would be guessing. I'm totally guessing, right? The Department of Justice didn't get involved to do nothing. But whether they actually do something, who knows? The Tesla fraud goes much deeper, as many of us know, than simply this funding secured stuff. But the funding secured stuff is so clear and so irrefutable that it's the easiest, most powerful case to make. And it's right. Such obvious market manipulation. You see the share price jump. You see investors obviously hurt. And that's not to mention all the private lawsuits that are out there. This adds an enormous amount of pressure on Tesla and Musk for those private lawsuits. It gives them all just a huge jolt of credibility. Now, the SEC has sued only on behalf of investors who bought Tesla stock thinking that the funding was secured at 420. It didn't bring any suits on behalf of people who were short the stock and had to cover. But even those lawsuits get a jolt from this. But, you know, Chris, it's ironic. Because my focus has always been on fundamentals at Tesla. And there are so many things right now that are real perils to Tesla fundamentally. And it would be ironic if this is what finally rolls it up. But I mean, they have this demand cliff with the Model 3. They've gone through their long-range rear-wheel drive demand in the U.S., and they're about 60% through their all-wheel drive demand. The orders coming in are far fewer than the amount that they can make every week. They face the problem of the federal income tax credit getting cut in half at the end of the year, which is going to pull forward their demand and cause enormous problems in 2019. they have horrible quality issues. If you see on Twitter the number of people who are complaining that they're being delivered cars with problems, they have enormous cash problems because they have notes, you know, debt coming due, $320 million, I think.
Well, they have debt coming due in March of 2019, right, also?
Yeah, well, they have some due in November. They have $320 million.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, under their asset-backed lending agreement, they're required to have a cash balance of about $1,400,000 so that they have money on hand to cover the convertible debt coming due in March. And, you know, now why do the secured lenders want that to happen? They want to make sure that Tesla has the cash. They want to be in a position where they can exercise their remedies if it looks like Tesla's going to go under. So that's an important protection for the asset-backed lenders. All these problems are enormous. And on top of that, you have Audi and Jaguar now rolling out their vehicles, which are impressive. And you have Hyundai starting to deliver the Kona. And but it may not be that those fundamental things, which I think were bound to cause this company to collapse. It may be the SEC. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Well, I said prior to bringing you on, and I know a lot of people are going to be upset that they have to listen to 28 minutes of me before they get to you, because I'm going to bill this podcast as your return. So I apologize to them. But I said before you came on pretty much what you said, which was this is such – if you read the complaint, it's such a breezy complaint, and not breezy in terms of lack of facts, but like it's very cut and dry. This was extraordinarily low-hanging fruit for them. And the fact that they could even churn this complaint out in less than 2 months since the incident occurred – I mean, think about it. He tweets August 7th, and between now and then, we were able to determine not only was he full of shit – but, you know, they were able to issue subpoenas, do their whatever fact-finding they needed, and then put the complaint together and have it filed by today. In the legal world, that is astonishingly quick.
Yeah, so it's there'd be people who, you know, have been down on the SEC for not moving faster. To me, I'm impressed with how quickly they did this and how thorough it is. And it reflects that they did a lot of interviews and a lot of legwork. And It's a really carefully drafted complaint and a nice piece of work. But what it also does, and I think this is important, it drives a stake into any ability of Tesla to raise capital now in the public markets.
Oh, of course.
I mean, and Tesla absolutely needs to raise billions in the public markets. It needs to raise billions just for maintenance capex, never mind go forward. So now you have this company, which maybe through, you know, smoke and mirrors will squeak out a GAAP profit in Q3 with one-time tricks and by capitalizing a lot of things that should be expensed and by recognizing revenues for full self-driving, which is a joke, and by selling ZEV credits at a huge discount, all those things it may try to do, and by also, you know, taking cash for cars it hasn't delivered yet. We see that all over the place. It needs cash badly, and it's going to be unable to raise it. And that's – what does it have after it gets past Q3? It is nothing but losses and big losses.
Well,
especially
and,
when you
and all of the time and resources and legwork and all of the stuff that they're doing now to just fuck with the Q3 numbers to get all these deliveries done just so they can print something at the end of Q3 that looks impressive, they're gonna be bearing the brunt of all that the next day. I mean, talk about waking up with a fucking hangover, right? Like, you just known that everybody on your team's exhausted. You've expended all of the, you know, tricks that you can expend. You've turned all the dials you can turn, and now you got to do it again this quarter? No way.
Yeah. No, there's no way they can. It was just to keep hope alive. And I think they had to be thinking, well, we'll raise in Q4. We'll just, whatever it is, whatever bad news out there they have that they haven't wanted to disclose, they figured we'll have a Q3, we'll get a spike in the price and incite our retail base. And you know, by hook or by crook, we'll raise some money for Q4. And I think that's just not going to happen right now. Not with this lawsuit here. You may have some private deal that they could put together, which would be hugely dilutive. Even that's, I'll be honest with you. I think Elon Musk's biggest breach of fiduciary duty over the past several months has been to fail to devise a Chapter 11 plan that would allow Tesla to do some kind of organized prepackaged bankruptcy.
Well, they're going to have to
salvage some value, because right now you're getting close to the point where Chapter 7 is the only alternative. And, you know, that's less desirable for the stakeholders in the company.
I just don't see a situation where the board convenes. Well, as I said in the 20 minutes preceding you coming on, I mean, the board, you know, there's no intelligence there at all. And that's a huge problem, because what a normal board of directors would do next week, in my opinion, and again, this is not legal advice or investing advice. As a matter of fact, it's not advice at all, so just don't listen. But what a normal board should do next week, in my opinion, is get together, take a very quick bird's eye overview of what the major aftershocks of this action are going to be, even if they go out and they settle it tomorrow, right? You know there's probably still some legal overhang with the SEC in the background. You know the Department of Justice is looming. You know this is going to lend credibility to every lawsuit that's out there. And you know your key man, where in the annual filing you have key person risk disclosed, is no longer going to be able to serve as an officer or director of the company, right? So how do you not right there start to say, you know, we're going to have, while considering the cash needs that you brought up, which are obvious and also pornographic, in my opinion, while considering those things, how is your first discussion that you have not, you know, what we have to look at a reorganization? We have to at least have that option on the table. We don't have to commit to it right now, but we have to start putting something together, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the first discussion they should have, which is one they should have had months ago, is to call their own personal legal counsel and say, hey, you know what? I'm the director of this company. I've sat on the board for years and done absolutely nothing to restrain this narcissistic, sociopathic liar. And now we have some real issues here. Tell me what our D&O coverage is, and tell me what the best thing for me to do right now would be. That would be a good discussion to have first. So,
and I guarantee you the answer would not be continue tweeting.
Well, listen, That tweeting should have been stopped years ago, okay? I actually wrote an article a few years ago saying if there are any grown-ups left at Tesla, they should take away Musk's Twitter account. I wrote that back in 2016 because the problems were obvious then. And the SEC does a great job, by the way, of pointing out how Tesla sought permission to have Musk's tweets serve as, fair disclosure-type information. So, that's just that problem's been hanging out there. They've been aware of it. They've done nothing. I feel absolutely zero sympathy for any of the board directors.
I'm right there with you.
They haven't been astonished. They haven't been sued. They all deserve to be sued, and they deserve to lose everything they have to the poor shareholders who've been screwed by them. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And as I said before you came on, this is not just about people that are Tesla shareholders that are buying this stock that have no fucking clue what they're buying because they think the mission is fantastic. And there's a lot of them out there. But also, too, you know, this will have a wide-reaching effect on, in a very small fashion. I mean, this is what the public market does. But this will have a wide-reaching effect on everybody who has, you know, money in index funds or money invested in some degree with a counterparty of Tesla's. Or, you know, so when people were giving me shit about this Hedge Eye podcast I did, saying, oh, you're taking it personally, I was saying I'm not taking it personally. I'm taking it personally on behalf of the people that either don't understand how it affects them or don't get what's going on. So real quick, what most people...
Well, before we do that, for all you and I know, with how completely detached the share price has been from fundamentals, the stock could go green tomorrow for all we know.
Okay. I hope it does.
I don't think it will. I think it's real trouble for Tesla. And if it does go green, it's not going to solve any of the fundamental problems. But you know, there's no doubt about it. It's for many of these retail investors, this is a religion. I do think that at this point, the institutions have to be deeply concerned, and I can't see any of them deciding they're going to put any more money into this company for new capital.
So I'm reading now that the SEC held a press conference and they were asked about whether or not there would be potentially any other charges against Tesla or Musk. And this is coming via the Twitter. You'll have to forgive me. As we're talking, I'm watching the Twitter feed on my screen here. Stuart Meisner, the lawyer who's representing the whistleblower, just tweeted that FYI, the SEC said no comment to a question of whether or not there were potential other charges against Tesla or Musk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no comment means no comment. Who knows? I don't know if there will be others. This one is serious enough. This is the most blatant, obvious example of stock manipulation I've ever seen in my lifetime. What more do you need besides this?
Yeah.
To say that this guy is unfit to serve as a director or officer of any publicly traded company.
And it should have ended a while ago, but I have to give the SEC an immense amount of credit, because not only, I mean, this was just, you know, I spent the last few years working in my job watching many companies exploit loopholes and do things that were ethically just nasty things to do, whether or not they were fraud or not, or material misstatements. They were in a gray area. Some probably were, some weren't. But the fact that I was so discouraged leading up to this and was actually thinking to myself that, yeah, there's a chance they might just let him go on this, which is, again, probably the most perverse example of securities fraud you could ever come up with, and the biggest fucking layup for any regulator. Really, it wouldn't have surprised me. Having said that, I think the SEC deserves an enormous amount of credit for acting expediently here. The one thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, you keep talking about the board of directors and their obligation to shareholders, something I mentioned before you came on. You know, what even concerns me more about the board and the fact that they maybe have not considered a reorganization yet is their duty to try to present the best possible outcome to the other people in the capital structure as well. And I just wanted to know if you wanted to comment
to all the stakeholders in the whole capital stack. And how about, you know, what about to the poor Tesla customers? What is a Tesla warranty going to be worth? What is your free supercharging for life going to be worth? What about all these people who bought cars and have to wait months and months for parts to arrive, if they ever arrive? It is dereliction of duty from the very top to the very bottom.
Yeah, it certainly is. And
if, you know, if Elon Musk had been less concerned with tattletaling to my boss and paying a little bit more attention to trying to learn about manufacturing, maybe he wouldn't have all these problems right now.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. And not only that, but that's what we were saying prior to this about his overriding concern with short sellers. And it's also what I said on my podcast after that happened. And for those that are listening to this podcast, the first time you ever heard Montana Skeptic, you know, Elon Musk went out and called this guy's boss, because he's been on my podcast and he's written critically about the company for years, and asked him, hey, why does this guy have a problem with me? And today, you got your answer from the SEC.
Yeah.
Because you were sounding the alarm, and you have been. As a matter of fact, right before you came on, I was actually giving you credit. I was saying this episode's for Montana Skeptic, and then I got your text message. But you were sounding the alarm before anybody.
No. There were many who were doing it. Certainly, there were plenty of people sounding the alarm before I got on the scene. Mark Spiegel certainly was active, and there were lots of others. Okay, there were. I learned from a lot of other people who were writing skeptical pieces about Tesla. So I'm by no means the first or the best. I just happened to find myself in the crosshairs of this nutcase.
So what do you think the effect of the officer director bar is going to be? And I don't mean over the long term, because, you know, that's what I was talking about before you came on, was what would happen if, you know, he agrees to it. First off, do you think you're going to settle, or do you think they're going to fight it?
Well, they better settle awfully quickly if they're going to settle. I don't think they were close to settling if the SEC filed this complaint, number one. Number two, Musk has stock pledged for huge amounts of margin debt. I mean, at least $600 million, very likely more. His lifestyle with all the mansions and the corporate jet and his expenses, you know, it's an expensive lifestyle. And then he went out and bought stock, as you know, earlier this year to try to squeeze the shorts at a time when he had inside information about Saudi purchases. That's another perilous thing for him. There's a real danger that there's a margin call. Now, what do you do if you're the board of directors? They've said, you know, they've put a 25% limit on his ability to margin his stock. He's going to come and ask them to waive that, probably. What do they do now with the SEC having sued this guy? Are they going to waive it? Are they going to disclose that to the investing public? If the margin call comes, this has always been a built-in danger for Tesla. And we may be a little ways away from a margin call, depending on what the stock price is and what his trigger is. But this lawsuit brings you a lot closer.
Well, and you're going to have to be cognizant going forward, not only of what point that margin call might be triggered, but what this is going to do, as you were saying earlier about, bringing up the point that it's going to be difficult for them to raise money, the terms and the covenants of every contract and every deal that this company has, whether it's financial related or it's supplier related, are going to be looked at under a microscope tomorrow and are likely going, those screws are likely going to be turned against the company going forward. Because you can't be a supplier to this company. You can't be a customer of the company. You can't be a financier of the company. You can't be a shareholder of the company and not think that this doesn't add risk. So, you know, interest expense will ultimately wind up going up, I believe. Your contract terms, you know, here's Musk out with a statement saying, I'm going to read this to you real quick. The lawsuit is unjustified, okay, and that he acted in the best interest of shareholders. You want to
Which particular sentence in the lawsuit is wrong? Which factual allegation is in any respect, even one word, wrong? That is the weakest, most pathetic statement I can imagine. And if you're trying to settle with the SEC or if your board is, why would you ever come out with a statement like that? You should be doing private penance, not public defiance. It's just further proof that this narcissistic, egomaniacal, sick, twisted man crying out for help needs help. And the board has ignored it for too long. And they deserve exactly what they're getting. And it's not going to get any better.
It's interesting. I've seen situations in the past where the SEC has sued a company, and then subsequent to that, they've settled. I've seen a couple of things. So I'll give you my quick personal experience, obviously, which is not anywhere as robust as yours. But I worked for a company. I went to go work for a company after they were sued by the SEC that I was a shareholder of. And they sued. What I've seen happen in the past is I've seen companies get sued and announce a settlement at the same time or like a day apart. Then I've seen a situation like the one that the company I was invested in happened where they were sued. And then eventually, 2 months, 3 months later, they agreed to settle. And then, of course, I've seen these things go the distance. You have to believe that for him to come out and say it's unjustified, like in the case of the company I'm talking about, when they were sued, they came out and said, we're going to defend it vigorously. And then, you know, you had 2-3 months before a settlement. So it seems like he's posturing here by saying unjustified that they're not going to settle, at least up front. I mean, is that how it looks to you?
I haven't read his statement, but unjustified. Oh my God. This, you know, of course, when you're surrounded by nothing but yes men all your life, and when you crave adulation and approval, and you must be the center of attention, I guess all these horrible things that happen to you are unjustified. It's unjustified when that mean Montana skeptic writes about the stuff in your 10Q. I mean, everything is unjustified. Every bad fact is unjustified. Maybe one day this guy will wake up, ideally in a prison cell, and look at himself in the mirror and say, hey, actually, it might have been me.
Yeah, how about let me run this one by you, too. CNBC anchor just said accounting fraud has, quote, always been the question with Tesla, quote.
Oh, how quickly,
this is Elon Bachman tweeting this, how quickly history is rewritten. Now, it was August 8th that Jim Cramer came out and said shorts are facing an uphill battle with Elon Musk. Has the mainstream media coverage of this been disgraceful? I mean, what's your take on that? We know what my take is.
You know, Eurasia has always been at war with East Asia or whatever it was in 1984. What a total fiction. This guy got nothing but adulation from the press. I've described it as hagiographic and stenographic.
Right.
That's what he had for years. Nothing but hagiography and stenography and praise. And if you read the conference calls and everybody slobbering all over him, no wonder he's so screwed up. I mean, you can't be a responsible person if you don't listen to a little criticism. And if you insist on having nothing but praise and being the center of attention, and he's invented his entire biography. The idea that he's an engineer, the idea that he was somehow the guiding genius behind PayPal when in fact he was forced out, the idea that he was a founder of Tesla, all these things are inventions of somebody with deep-seated personal problems. That's just my personal opinion.
Here's the full statement. This by Elon Musk, I'm sorry. This unjustified action by the SEC leaves me deeply saddened and disappointed. I have always taken action in the best interests of truth, transparency, and investors. Integrity is the most important value in my life, and the facts will show I never compromise this in any way.
Yeah. So that child rapist pedophile, talk about your integrity there, Elon Musk, you know? I mean, what a complete joke. If for the guy to even be saying that, it's shameless and it's really sad. There's no hope. He's beyond rehabilitation. He's beyond redemption. And the board just needs to cut him loose immediately. What are they going to, I guess, maybe we've been seeing so much of Kimball Musk because they're going to have to put him in as CEO and they realize this was coming.
Oh, my God. I never
have you
even
noticed
thought
we've seen
that.
A lot of Kim? Yeah. That, anyway, listen, Chris, we've chatted and
oh my God, I have so many more questions.
Well, we'll talk again sometime.
Okay. All right. All right.
This can't go on forever, right?
What, the podcast?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll
no,
talk again soon.
It's only been 15 minutes. I was going
to
run one.
Listen, I want to tell you, you've been a great friend and I mean that sincerely and
Thank
I appreciate
you.
All your support and it was really difficult for me. The doxing was difficult. The attack by Musk was difficult. They came at a difficult time in my life. And so I appreciate your friendship.
Well, can I just tell you that there's a lot of people out there that also support you and that have also stood by you. And, you know, I feel like we were able to strike up a friendship kind of late in the Tesla story. But there's been a lot of people out there that have been advocates for you. And there's been a lot of people that have been out there trying to speak truth to power for you. And after all that shit went down, you've had an immense outpouring of support on Twitter because those people all knew not only are you an honorable person of integrity, but that you were absolutely right in your assertion. And today, you know, I know you're not taking a victory lap or anything like that, but today should be a nice piece of validation for you. And, you know, above all, I'm really happy that this happened for you.
Well, Musk sort of turned me into a martyr for the cause, even though I was a bit player in a lot of ways. There are many more important people out there doing great work on Tesla, and I really respect and admire and appreciate what they've done. But I do have a lot of sympathy for the investors who are in ETFs that own this garbage or
right.
The people who have bought these cars thinking that this was a big, powerful company. There's going to be a lot of pain ahead. All right, Chris. Thanks.
All right. Hey, it was really, truly a pleasure to speak to you again, and let's do it again soon, all right?
Okay. Bye.
That was the one, the only Montana Skeptic. Man, that was awesome. I'm sorry to have to make you wait 28 minutes of listening to me bullshit and rant before he came on, but what more is there left to be said? Hopefully we have him back on again, And certainly today, a nice, interesting piece of validation for him. We'll watch this story as it continues to unfold. But for now, I got shit to do. Peace.